Good morning. Time for the farm show here at the Shank of the Day on Wax 104.5. As Jill and Krista and myself, Bob Bosol, bring you the news in agriculture around the area, around Wisconsin, around the nation, and around the world as part of the Midwest Farm Report family. We've got markets, 13 First Alert weather. We'll look at all kinds of calendar items and what's going on in the world of agriculture. Again, it's time for the Farm Show on Wax 104.5. The wagon's full this morning. Lots to talk about on the Farm Show. Bob and Jill with you this morning. We'll give a little update on the farm bill, such as it is. There's not much update because they haven't really marked it up yet and told us what's in it from either House or the Congress or the Senate. So we'll see what the House is going to lead, because, of course, the House is where funding always is initiated as far as bills are concerned. So the Senate will wait and see what kind of funding the House is calling for. We'll talk about milk production. We'll talk about the county fair bill in Wisconsin that the governor signed. The USDA is taking some action on avian influenza. Farm First Dairy Cooperative has a new leader. Jeff Lyon left the cooperative a month or two ago, either by hook or by crook. But he's no longer with Farm First Dairy Cooperative. Kind of a quiet exit for Jeff Lyon out of Farm First Dairy Cooperative. But they have a new leader, and we'll tell you who that is and what he's all about. And so much more, including a calf update. Are we done yet?
We are not done yet. We're waiting on Kendra, Penelope, Gray Goose, and Dahlia.
All right, so that one's going to have twins.
Penelope is supposed to have twins.
So we'll have five more, and then we call it a season.
Yeah, we'll call it a season. We won't get there till June, though, because I don't think Dahlia is due till the first part of June.
Oh, man, the bull couldn't find her or what?
Well, she got pushed back last year, and she had an August calf last year, so her moving up into June is quite an achievement for her, because right, she's not a young cow either.
All right, so again, that's the update from the Walkie Land and Cattle Company. We probably should have led with that. That's important. And also, we're going to hear from down in Mauston. What are we going to hear from Mauston area?
They got a farm-to-school grant. And they really talked about getting that connection with the farmers and getting the kids eating foods that are right off the farm and understanding where their food is coming from.
All right, so we'll hear from that. Minnesota Horse Expo is also this weekend. Talked to a young lady who's over in Glenwood City right now, and very interesting what she does and about some of the other stuff going on at the Minnesota Horse Expo. And, of course, Arbor Day is tomorrow. But, you know, we've been hearing, keeping our fingers crossed, this avian influenza doesn't get into our dairy. Yeah, our dairies. We heard about it at all the chicken houses and the turkey houses over the last few years. But it's got into some dairies, not in Wisconsin. But to further protect the U.S. livestock industry from the threat of avian influenza, the USDA is sharing a number of actions that they're taking with their federal partners to stay ahead of the disease and limit its spread. Mandatory testing for interstate movement of dairy cattle. Prior to interstate movement, dairy cattle will now be required to receive a negative test for the influenza A virus at an approved National Animal Health Laboratory network. So again, that's something that they're going to enforce. Owners of herds in which dairy cattle test positive for interstate movement will be required to provide epidemiological information, including animal movement tracing. Dairy cattle moving interstate must adhere to conditions specified by APHIS, the Animal Plant Health Inspection Service, and other things going on as well. But again, any cattle moving across state lines, dairy cattle, now have to be tested. We'll check with Rocky and the other folks from the sale barn and see what kind of an effect that may have, because we get cattle in here from other states, and a lot of the cattle that are bought here have to go to other states. So I don't know if that's just lactating dairy animals or if it's calves and heifers. We'll find out. But again, they're making some moves as far as protecting the dairy herds from avian influenza. Also, coming up, we'll take a look at, as we said, the Minnesota Horse Expo. Tiffany Stauffer is going to be one of the presenters. She's over in Glenwood City. And I said, where are you in Glenwood City? Well, she's right on 128, the beautiful green and brown building. You know, when you go towards Glenwood City off the interstate there, Liberty Horses is what she does, teaching her horses to do things without having a lead rope on them or anything like that. So lots to talk about there as well. And it looks like we're not going to be short of eggs anytime soon for that omelet. What's the latest on that? That's always a fun story.
No, we will not. And that's because our 379 million laying hens produced 9.3 billion eggs in March, with 8 million of those eggs being tabled eggs. Wisconsin hens contributed 207 million eggs to that total, but Iowa still leads in egg production with 1.149 billion eggs in March.
Can't imagine a billion eggs. That's about, what, six times more than we produce here. But they've got barns that are just huge down there producing eggs. So, again, lots of things going on in the world of agriculture. As we mentioned, we'll get you updated on the farm bill, such as it is. No provisions, really, that we know of. But at least they're moving forward with it. The House looks like they will take action first. So lots to talk about this morning, including a weather forecast that, well, you're going to like today. Well, you probably like all weekend long because we're going to get more moisture.
Agriculture. It's a Wisconsin way of life.
How do the numbers look? We're already into Thursday, Jill, the cash livestock.
Choice-fed beef steers are 178 to 186 with those mixed steers, 140 to 177. Choice-fed beef heifers are 176 to 186 with mixed heifers, 150 to 175. Finished dairy cross steers and heifers are 152 to 183. Choice-fed Holstein steers are 159 to 167. Cows are 99 to 116 with a top of 130. Bulls are 127 to 148. Butcher hogs are 70 to 85. With sows at 44 to 52 and boars at 15 to 27. Shorn market lambs are 185 to 222. Feeder lambs are 110 to 290. Ewes are 82 to 140. Small goats are $10 to $135. Medium goats are $180 to $270. Large goats are $180 to $460. With nanny goes at $25 to $275.
Down at the Mercantile Exchange yesterday, cattle and hogs across the board. June live cattle down $1.90 at $175.25. August cattle down $2.12, $173.37. And October down $1.72 at $177.65. Feeder cattle for May at $244.10 at the close down $1.95. August at $256.30 down $3.10. September, $257.50. That's down $2.97. October, down $3 even at $257.77. Hogs for May, $97.35, down $1.22. June, down a half a dollar at $107.45. July, down a dime at $109.85. And August, well, they were actually up a nickel at $107.15. Board of Trade, corn down two, beans up a half, wheat up 15 cents. Not much to move corn and beans, but the wheat went up 15 cents. There's little concern about the crop condition of winter wheat around the country with some of the moisture, lack thereof. December corn overnight down 2 cents, or down a fraction rather, sitting at 472. The oats unchanged, 357. Wheat up another 2 cents at 656. November soybeans down 4 to 5 cents overnight, 11.69, and meal down 2.80 a ton at 3.47.30. Barrel cheese unchanged at 1.77, and then, yeah, we're getting to the end of the week. It's like clockwork. We end of the week, dairy prices go down. Blocks down 2 cents, 1.74, butter down a quarter at 2.96 and three quarters. April class three unchanged, 15.57. May and June back down under $18. May was down 35 at 17.78. June down 31 cents at 17.91. July down 23 at 18.31. August down 23 at 18.52. That's the way the markets look. So we're going to hear what's going on in Mauston. They got a grant for, what'd you say, Jill,
$50,000? $50,000.
All right. We'll see how they're going to put it to use down there at Mauston.
Mauston School District has been awarded a farm-to-school turnkey edible garden grant, where they're working to educate students about where their food comes from and really encourage eating healthy local foods. I'm Charity Seebecker from the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, and I got a chance to talk with Jackie Pyer, who is serving as the farm-to-school coordinator. And she says that she has had some great feedback so far from students, but also great feedback from the community members about the impact that it's having.
Just having somebody that's their sole role is dealing with farm-to-school is immense. It helps with everything. Just that I can focus on getting new things into the school, activities with kids. We're doing taste testings after school and then during lunches at each of the schools in the district. And that kind of helps out that I'm able to kind of freely roam around the district and see wherever staff thinks that they could use my help, and just getting into contact with area farmers, connecting them into the school and then into classrooms too. For example, kind of getting area farmers to come in, do a class and experience, and they come in for the after school things too and kind of help and provide some of their produce for those activities.
What are some of the activities that you've done that maybe have stuck out to you that the students either really responded well to or maybe you weren't sure about and then at least tried, or that was food or just an education type thing that you brought to them?
I was really worried, actually. Just a couple of weeks ago, we tested burger sliders. So the kids made everything, patted up the hamburgers, even made the buns, and we brought in some greens from the high school greenhouse that students grew. And the thing was, we tested ground beef and ground goat meat, or Chivon. So I was really worried about kids trying the Chivon, but we had the producers come in and talk about it and describe how they raise the goats and the beef separately. And they were all super jacked to try it and make it. And that's what I've been most surprised about, this is how willing kids are to try something new, to get hands-on and dirty. And it ended up being really good. It was about half and half that liked the goat meat better than the beef. So yeah, it was super surprising. Other things we've tried, I've been focusing on a lot of vegetables this winter. Area producers in Waniwok and Mauston had a lot of extra beets and onions and sweet potatoes and that kind of thing, and carrots. The other month we did beet pancakes, they basically look like Barney, but the kids absolutely loved it. And everybody that tried them, it was really good. And just the experience, you know, most kids, if they have tried a vegetable, usually it's just boiled or steamed. And I've been able to take just roasting them. It completely transforms something for kids to try. And it's probably been about a 90% success rate of kids liking what they've been trying.
You mentioned that they've got the school garden facilities. There's those raised beds, the indoor greenhouse. There's also hydroponics. And take me through those systems and how those are kind of being part of the project.
Part of the project has been mainly focusing on the greenhouse, just because we kind of needed some of that expensive weather equipment to kind of regulate venting and things like that. And so we've been kind of focusing on the greenhouse more because Ms. Babcock with the agriculture department, she's got the aquaculture that she uses with her classroom. There's hydroponics also with that, and they're called grow towers or fork farms, and those are really nice. They're super thin columns that we've been able to produce enough lettuce to have a weekly harvest for the school lunch program, and we have help of the student gardener that kind of maintains things in the greenhouse and plants kind of weekly things that do go to the school food program.
So you mentioned lettuce. What are some of the other things that you guys are growing that you are able to use in the school program, or maybe in the future are hoping to use?
We did have kids start from seed, peas and beets that they're able to eat, and some broccoli and kohlrabi that we've been kind of testing just in the greenhouse and the raised beds. Like during that warm streak, we kind of put some broccoli plants outside. We're really hoping just to expand on that. Things that do super well with the school lunch program is like things for salad bars or wraps, because they're always every day after school have snack kind of things, sandwiches, things like that. Right now we just kind of supply for the high school. Each of the other schools do kind of have their own grow towers that they just have kids experiment with. And I know like the elementary school, they're going to look into doing microgreen kits for each of the classrooms and kind of incorporating that into the curriculum. So in the future, it's just, we'd like to just expand more as the needs of the district expand too.
And again, that's down in Mauston, their farm-to-school program, grant program, $50,000 again. They're doing some good things with it. Jackie Poyer picked to monitor that across the Mauston School District. That is good stuff. Good to hear about that, teaching the kids, although I'm not excited about beet pancakes.
That sounds a little bit interesting to me.
Blueberry potato pancakes. That's what we go for. But again, good program down there at Mauston, using that grant money for good things. What's the update on the farm bill?
Well, a House Agriculture Committee chairman, Republican Congressman Glenn Thompson of Pennsylvania, now says that without a doubt, our committee will mark up a farm bill before Memorial Day. On the Senate side, Agriculture Committee Chairman Senator Debbie Stabenow of Michigan said her committee hasn't set an exact timeline to move a new farm bill out of committee. But she said it will be soon after the House committee releases its version of the bill. Some of the areas of the new bill are considered the most contentious are crop subsidies, climate funding, reference prices, SNAP funding, crop subsidy payments, and federally subsidized crop insurance.
And those are issues that are going to take some discussion back and forth to be resolved. So if you interpret that as they've still got some work to do, I think you are correct. I interpret it the same way. Well, let's get back home here to Wisconsin because some changes in the law as far as our county and district fairs. What's the latest?
Those fairs around the state will have a new law to deal with starting this season. That's because Governor Tony Evers has signed Wisconsin Act 244 into law that makes some changes to fair policy. Senate Bill 311, authored by State Senator Joan Bollwig, restricts the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection from restricting the number of fairs an exhibitor can participate in. That means they're taking off that restriction. It used to be a junior could show at one junior fair with their projects. And it also increases state-aided premiums at fairs enough for the fairs to cover their costs. The bill received bipartisan support and will be in effect for the upcoming fair season.
And you're going to visit with Jamie Butke, director of the fairs around Wisconsin, later on this morning, a little elaboration on that bill.
Yeah, I want to see maybe what the motivation was for it and get more participation maybe.
All right, that's a good thing. All right, and coming up, the Minnesota Horse Expo. That's this weekend. We'll hear what one exhibitor is going to do and what the expo is going to feature.
The first voice of agriculture in Wisconsin for over 35 years.
It's springtime, and that means horses are getting rid of their winter coats and getting active, just like farmers in the field. And this weekend, they'll be active at the Minnesota State Fairgrounds in St. Paul. It's the annual Minnesota Horse Expo. And with me is Tiffany Stauffer from Plum City, Glenwood City area. And Tiffany, you're going to be a presenter over there, a clinician. Tell me about that.
I will be there with a bunch of other clinicians as well, and I'll be showcasing and working with people on Liberty horsemanship. There's several other clinicians going to be there as well, showing a wide variety of disciplines and skill sets, working with all sorts of breeds of horses there.
Tell me about the Liberty horsemanship that you're going to be teaching people about. What's all involved in that?
So Liberty horsemanship is essentially being able to communicate with these horses without the use of traditional ropes, bridles, whips, stuff like that. We actually do use whips, but nothing tying us to the horse. So it's really cool. It requires a high level of communication and understanding between you and your horse, and it's just something that I'm very passionate about. And, of course, lots of cool tricks, laying down, rearing, a Spanish walk where they strike out. Stuff like that is what really gets me going.
Where did you get the knowledge and the expertise to do all this? Because I've seen that Liberty horsemanship, and it is really something. It's an art.
Yes. So I grew up around horses, and then, probably 10 years ago, I really started having a desire to know how to do all the cool tricks and stuff, and got to work with some top clinicians around the U.S. And even some outside of the U.S. and got to learn as much as I could and come back and do that with my own horses. And it is just an absolute blast.
So how much interest is it among other people to learn Liberty horsemanship?
I would definitely say it is one of the fastest growing disciplines at this time. There's a lot of interest in of people wanting to kind of shift to more of a quieter communication with their horse rather than using all the traditional methods that we've seen for so long. So it's definitely, I mean, I have people asking about it all the time, and a lot of people are interested in it.
So exactly where and when this weekend at the Minnesota Horse Expo will you be showing off your Liberty horsemanship?
So I will be doing demonstrations in the compere and the cattle barn, and then have a performance in the Coliseum. So the performance will be at noon Friday and Saturday, and then at 4 on Sunday. And then the demos will be at 11 and 2 on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
So you will be a busy young lady. You mentioned other clinicians there also, Tiffany. What are some of the other disciplines these clinicians will be educating people about in their horses?
I believe I saw a gated horse person, so there's going to be some gated stuff. Warwick Schiller is another big trainer right now, and he has his attuned horsemanship, which is similar to Liberty in, you know, being able to communicate on quieter levels. There's quite a few trainers that lined up. There's the Versatility Ranch Horse that will also be there and doing some demonstrations as well. So they have, like, the range cow work and stuff like that. There's all sorts of things. There's driving. It looked like there was a driving derby going on in the Coliseum as well. I know the Nakota horses always put on a good performance. So there's going to be just a wide variety and touching on a little bit of everything.
And, of course, springtime is breeding season. I would imagine folks with mares should be over there to see if they can find a stallion that they think would be perfect to cover their mares. So I would imagine many breeds of stallions as well and showing them off too.
Yes, that is true. I know quite a few of the stallions that are going to be standing there this year, and they are pretty magnificent. And even if you're not interested in breeding your mare, they're still fun to watch.
They certainly are. And, of course, there's going to be a lot of money changing hands over there, so I would imagine there'll be a lot of vendors on the grounds with everything you can imagine for your horse.
And even things not related to horses, yes. They definitely have a good display of vendors there.
One of the things that I've always found interesting over there at the Minnesota Horse Expo, which, by the way, is this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, at the Minnesota State Fairgrounds in St. Paul, the 4-H tack swap, that's kind of a hidden gem, isn't it? Have you been there and taken a look at some of the things that they have?
Oh, I love going there every year. Yes, they have tons of stuff available, lots of really good deals, great tack, just so many options, and it's, you know, supporting the 4-H group, which I think is always a fun thing to do.
Because they bring 4-Hers from all over the state. Bring horse equipment and tack and everything else in, clothes, boots, hats, you name it, right?
Yeah, it's actually open to the public to consign.
Oh, it is.
Anyone can bring stuff.
All right, and the 4-Hers kind of run that. So, and that takes place where on the grounds, do you know?
That I do not.
Well, you'll be able to find it when you get there. Just look for the big 4-H tack swap. Something else, and general vendors, too. I would imagine hundreds of those will be there.
Oh, yes. There should be tons. There's the Miracle of Birth Center. They're in the sheep barn, and they're in the Coliseum, as well as the cattle barn. So they should all be filled with vendors.
And by Miracle of Birth, what are you talking about? Are they going to have actually mares foaling there at the show?
Oh, I think that's the name of the building.
Oh, I see. Okay, but they'll be there. Now, something else I saw, a Dream Horse Journey. What's that? Are you familiar with that at the show this weekend?
I know I've seen them in the past, and they are super cool. They do some, I don't even know how to pronounce it, but the gaucho poles, and they do a lot of dancing with horses and winged things. I believe there's several Nakota horses in that, which is pretty cool. They talk about their heritage throughout the expo as well and how special they are. But a very cool group of ladies that puts that on, and it's just a blast to watch.
And that will be on all 3 days?
Yes. Yep, they will be in the Coliseum.
And one thing we have to talk about, speaking of the Coliseum, Friday and Saturday night, the Cowboys and the Cowgirls will be performing.
Oh, yes. That is always the favorite for everyone, to come and watch the PRCA Rodeo.
And that's both night, but that's a separate ticket, right?
Correct, yes.
Are tickets still available? Many times those sell out, or they hold so many tickets? And if we want tickets when we get on the grounds, how do we do that?
Right now, I do believe there are still tickets available, and you can purchase them right in the Coliseum for the rodeo.
And also, we have folks that want to maybe get a little horse ride or a pony ride or a wagon ride. That's even available at the grounds for free, I understand.
Yes, they are. That's always a big hit. I know growing up, I always went and got free pony rides, even though I had horses at home. Always a favorite.
And also, folks that like to ride their horses, maybe not professionally, but the drill teams are going to be there, right?
Yes, and some of those drill teams are super fun to watch. They've got some really good choreography this year. Oftentimes they come in full costumes, all dressed up. They're very fun to watch.
And again, that's the Minnesota Horse Expo this weekend. It'll start tomorrow. That's Tiffany Stauffer. Fun talking to Tiffany. She's originally from Plum City, where she went to high school, and now she's over there in Glenwood City with her farming operation. And I said, I got to come over there, she said, summer. And she said, well, I'm not there very much. She's doing these clinics all over the country, but her Liberty Horse Clinic should be fun to watch over there at the Minnesota Horse Expo. And for a lot of sale barns today, every day on Thursday is the last day of the trading week, so they can gear up for their big weekends, which I know Rocky always has a big party on Friday.
Oh, yeah.
We've never been invited to it, but I've heard many stories about the Rockies parties on Friday over there at Premier Livestock. But anyway.
I guess I haven't even been. So.
You haven't been invited yet, huh? Oh, man, we'll have to find out what's going on. But again, it is Thursday, last sale day of the week. But how have they gone so far this week, Rocky?
Thank you, Bob. Good morning, everyone. This is yesterday's dairy cattle auction shaped up. We sold 375 head of dairy cattle with four dispersals. Market was steady. Fancy fresh cows sold from 2,300 to 3,150. Most of the consigned loads of cows selling averaging from 2,100 to 2,800. Top spring and heifers from 21 to 28.50. Tuesday, we sold 550 headed dairy heifers. Top spring and heifers up to 3,100. Top shortbred heifers up to 24.50. And your top open heifers ready to breed from 1650 to 1900. That makes over 900 headed dairy cattle sold this week, guys. We thank you very much for all your support. It was a great week for selling dairy cattle. Next week's dairy cattle auction, we got two herds, including a 230 cow top-notch fancy young parlor freestall herd, excellent quality herd, plus we got a herd of Holsteins and crossbreds. A full list of details of those advanced consignments at premierlivestockandauctions.com. We'll recap the week's markets here, guys. The fed cattle high choice and prime Holstein fed steers 155 to 169, your choice beef steers and heifers from 170 to 183, market cows high yielding from 120 to 135, and your market bulls high yielding from 130 to 155. Organic market cows sold Mondays and Tuesdays mostly from 130 to 174. Calf market was steady this week. Most of your newborn Holstein bull calves from 400 to 600. Your beef cross calves from 600 to 950. Once again, all the details on upcoming sales, market reports, guys, it's at premierlivestockandauctions.com. Make sure you also check out our Premier Livestock Facebook page as well, or just pick up the phone and give us a call, 715-229-2500. Also today, that's our special sheep and goat auction, guys. We start an hour earlier at 10 o'clock a.m. We'll still be selling all of our other baby calves, market cattle, and steers and that. But if you're bringing sheep and goats, guys, it'll be a big sale. We want them in before 9 o'clock this morning. Hopefully most of them come in last night. But before 9 o'clock, make sure to get them sheep and goats in. So that's how things are shaping up, Bob.
So you got Travis's kid selling the sheep and goats today?
I think he's doing that, or he's helping sort, it sounded right. Like. So, well, one of the two.
He'll be at the barn. Are you going out in the woods this weekend? If you do, you better find a rain poncho to go with you.
got anything going this weekend that way. But
all right. Well, you have a good time at your party.
All right. Sounds good. Maybe we'll talk later today, okay?
We might do that. Thanks, Rocky.
Thank you.
There he goes. That's Rocky Olson over there at Premier Livestock in the Withy area.
For those who work in acres, not in hours.
And, well, let's catch up with Morgan right now. Morgan McCarthy has our news every morning from the newsroom. And Morgan, good morning. What's going on?
Well, good morning. Here's what we're learning today. We'll start with headlines that take us to the courts. And it's a not guilty plea for the man accused of killing a woman and leaving her body in a suitcase in Chippewa County. Jose Dominguez Garcia was in court yesterday to enter that plea. He's accused of killing his pregnant girlfriend in 2020 and leaving her body in a suitcase at an abandoned farmhouse on County Road T. He is scheduled for trial. And for now, that's set to begin next March. Well, more families affected in the Barron County area, as it looks like layoffs will be coming when Genio closes a portion of its plant. The company announced the plans back in January to end turkey harvesting at the plant. This month, that update includes 38 people losing their jobs. The company says everyone who works in that part of the plant will have an opportunity to apply for other jobs, but if they don't get those, they will be let go. In headlines that bring us to the baskets, the courts, and the fields, high school athletes in Wisconsin will not get paid, at least not yet. The WIAA, that's the group, of course, that manages high school sports here in our state, rejected a name, image, and likeness proposal. A WIAA official say NIL is coming to high school sports and suggested the proposal is a way to stay ahead of any new laws or lawsuits. But on the other side, local ADs say that the rules just didn't work and there were too many unanswered questions. Both the WIAA and local sports leaders do expect the NIL to come back in the future. Well, we're close to sinking our teeth into the best burger. The winner of that contest will be chosen a week from today. And the Wisconsin Beef Council title must be made with 100% beef and be on the menu year-round. And we talked about this process for a while now. You can find that list online, 715newsroom.com. And we are top of the list in Milwaukee. The public market in that area has been listed the best in the country, according to a USA Today poll. You can find those details online, 715newsroom.com. And you know what they say about old dogs and new tricks. We're not going to try to teach them any, but what does it even mean to be old these days?
A German study published this week in the American Psychological Association Psychology and Aging Journal checked in with thousands of people over the years, born between 1911 and 1974. The longer the study went on, the further away people saw the start of old age. People born between 1935 thought old age started earlier compared with people born after. Part of the reason could be longer life expectancies and a better overall quality of life. I'm Michael Kastner.
And of course, nothing keeps you younger than that fresh dairy air and getting smacked in the face at the shank of the day, baby. We better go keep that up with Bob Bolsel, Jill Welke, and your Midwest Farm Report on Wax 104.5.
Ah, thank you, Morgan. We found the fountain of youth. It's working with farmers, that's for sure. Going to kids on the fairs and all kinds of stuff. So, yeah, we're young, at least young at heart. Morgan McCarthy in the newsroom again this morning. Lots of chores still to do. As we mentioned earlier this morning, Farm First Dairy Cooperative has a new general manager. The board of directors saying that Mick Holm is the new general manager, bringing, as they say, expertise and a proven track record to lead the cooperative into a next chapter of growth and success. Having served as the director of milk marketing by the cooperative's Family Dairies USA division since 2019, Holm has demonstrated exceptional leadership and management within the cooperative. His responsibilities have encompassed managing a dynamic milk hauling schedule, navigating diverse buyer relationships amid seasonal fluctuations, and ensuring compliance with stringent federal regulations, all while overseeing crucial aspects such as milk producer payroll and the coordination of milk haulers. According to the president of the co-op, Rettler, the milk's demonstration demonstrated success and extensive management expertise within the dairy food industry, making him the natural choice to lead our cooperative. We are excited about the positive direction he will lead us and look forward to the invaluable contributions he will make to our organization. In his new role as general manager, Mick Holm will assume leadership over Farm First Dairy Cooperative, spearheading the management of its divisions and programs while concurrently continuing his pivotal role in milk marketing for the Family Dairies USA division. So again, they didn't go outside the organization. They stayed within it, found that they had someone that they are very confident in. Mick Holm is the new general manager of Farm First Dairy Cooperative, replacing Jeff Lyon, who left the cooperative here, I believe, a couple months ago now. But again, Farm First has a new leader to go forward with. And speaking of dairies and milk, we're producing some milk in Wisconsin, Jill.
Well, the March milk production went up in Wisconsin, but down in the 24 top milk-producing states. Here, production for the month reached 2.76 billion pounds. That's up 1% from a year ago. Cow numbers were up 1,000 head from last March, but those cows also produced more milk, an average of 2,175 pounds. That's 20 pounds more than last year. Nationally, milk production in March fell almost 1% to 18.8 billion pounds. Production per cow in March in those 24 milk major dairy states averaged 2,115 pounds. That's 3 pounds less than last March, as the herd size fell by about 71,000 head from a year ago, down to 8.88 million head, with a total herd across the country now numbering 9.33 million cows. California continues to lead in milk production at 3.66 billion pounds in March.
Tomorrow, you know what tomorrow is? It is Arbor Day. So again, we had Earth Day earlier. Now we have Arbor Day coming up tomorrow, the 26th. And we'll talk about that a little bit more tomorrow. But again, we're doing a pretty good job planting trees, and the goal, trillion trees here in Wisconsin. So we'll talk about that, the origination of Arbor Day, how it's going around the country and around the world. It'll be celebrated in every state and I don't know how many foreign countries, but planting trees, not a bad thing. We've also got some markets to get to. We'll check the calendar. We'll have Jill dig through that, see what she can find. Animal activities are going on here at the end of the week. What are we talking about?
Well, there's the Wisconsin Dairy Showcase. There is check-in today for all breeds down at the Alliant Energy Center in Madison, with those shows starting up tomorrow on Friday at 3 p.m., running through Saturday and Sunday. And it's going to showcase all the dairy breeds in Wisconsin. And that's at the Alliant Energy Center in Madison, the Dairy Showcase. There's also the Minnesota Horse Expo. It's at the Minnesota State Fairgrounds starting tomorrow and running through Sunday. Sounds like there's a lot of activities going to be happening there, featuring horse breeds, stallions, and vendors. And on Saturday, April 27th, there's a pancake breakfast sponsored by the Bloomer American Legion from 7 to 11 at the Bloomer Moose Lodge. All you can eat pancakes, plain or blueberry.
No beet pancakes?
No beet pancakes.
All right. So where? That's Saturday morning?
Saturday morning, 7 to 11 at the Bloomer Moose Lodge.
All right. And that takes us pretty much through the weekend. If you got other activities, you want them, want us to talk about them, send us an email. What's your email?
farm@midwestfamilyec.com.
Or you can send it to me, waxbob@gmail.com. It's that easy. Tell us what, where, when, all those sorts of things. So let us know. You find something else?
Well, I found another sheet. There's the Maple Festival on Saturday. That's in Medford at the Simic Center from 7:30 a.m. till 4 p.m. They're also having a pancake breakfast from 7:30 to 11. And lots of crafts and displays up there.
I know you were in Medford yesterday but to do a few things, but who's the FFA on the this Saturday?
It is the Medford FFA.
Okay.
Here on Saturday. Always fun to go up there and visit with Lisa Kopp and find out what's going on in their barn.
Yeah, she is one that just exudes enthusiasm for agriculture and the kids and the program up there. So good program up there at Medford with Lisa, and all the support she gets from the alumni up there. They built her the barn. She got animals in it, and kids really get a firsthand knowledge of how to handle chickens and sheep and cattle, and what else has she got in there?
And the newest addition is a mini pony.
Oh, okay.
She said this mini pony has a lot of spice, so these kids are learning what it's like to have an animal that isn't quite so cooperative.
Well, there you go. So learning. Good kids doing good things. Learning about food production. Let's go to markets. Where we go first?
Let's head on over to Barron Equity and hear from Al.
We had high-yielding choice Holstein steers today from 151 to 160.50. With your unfinished steers and heifers, 138 and down. Cow-cows today from 116 to 127. We topped out at 127.50, with 60% going from 92 to $1.15, with 20% 90 and down. I just want to say a special thank you for everybody that showed up for the small animal sale. We had a really good turnout. The 4-H sold out of food, and our next one will be May 18th. If you got something to consign, please call ahead at 608-477-5825. Thank you, and have a nice day.
We need to go to Sparta Equity and hear from Hutt Eamon.
Fed cattle selling steady to softer today. With the Highland Choice Beef Steers and Heifers 179 to 186. Choice and Select Beef Steers and Heifers 169 to 177. Beef and Dairy Cross Steers 165 to 180. Highland Choice Holstein Steers 162 to 168. The Choice and Select Holstein Steers 149 to 161 with the unfinished steers, heifers, and heavy steers $1 to $1.48. Cow market steady, quality beef slaughter cows up to 130. High-yielding slaughter dairy cows 110 to 120. The cutters and utilities 84 to 109 with the low-yielding and canner cows 83 cents and down. Bull market steady, most bulls bringing 125 to 150 with the thin. Full and bulls over 2,200 pounds discounted at $1.24 and down. Just a reminder, our next sale will be Monday, April 29th, starting at 11:30 with hogs, followed by calves, fed cattle, bulls, and cows. This is Hutt Eamon at Equity Livestock in Sparta with this marketing update, and we thank you for your business.
And we're not done yet, as we have more markets to get to. We're heading over to the Equity Stratford Sale Barn. Jerry Fitzgerald is with us. A little cool out there this morning, Jerry.
Bob, good morning to you. Yeah, not real well. Didn't freeze last night, I don't think. I'm still about 34 about. But if for no other reason today to get up, just get up and take a glance at the moon before it disappears over the horizon here. It's just, boy, a big, beautiful moon. So I guess this is, what do they call this, the pink moon or something?
Don't ask me. I got enough trouble following myself, let alone what they're calling everybody else. I don't know, but it's pretty out there.
Yeah, it is. Well, anyway, we better tell the folks about what's going on here at the market, something that is kind of worthwhile anyway, so... Bob, thank you, and a very good morning to everyone. A summary from yesterday, Wednesday, here at Equity Stratford, when we'll start out with the feeder cattle sale from yesterday. Lighter weight beef steers are selling mostly from 240 to 260. Those 4-6 weights, mostly from 250 to 270. Heavier beef steers, mostly from 170 to 235. Lightweight beef heifers yesterday, mostly selling in a range from $2 to $2.35. Your heavier beef heifers, from 170 to 220. Holsteins, lightweight Holsteins from 190 to 205. The rest of the Holsteins pretty much selling in the range from 160 to 205. Now we'll get into the market portion of the auction yesterday. Fairly steady market continues on the cows. High-yielding fleshy Holstein and cows yesterday were selling from 117 to 125. We had some very fancy beef cows yesterday up to 137.5. Most of the cows we sold yesterday sold between 93 and 117. Thinner cows, 92 and below. On the bull market, better quality bulls are selling from $1.32 to $1.50. Lightweight bulls, 125 and below. Fed cattle trade yesterday, choice grading Holstein steers, 148 to 164. Select cattle, underfinished cattle, 145 and below. And on the calf market, yesterday's auction, good quality replacement Holstein bull calves, mostly from 300 to 620. Heifer calves selling from 150 to 300. And those good quality beef calves, $600 to $920 on yesterday's sale. We are at Thursday. We start this morning at 11 o'clock. Full marketing day, include market cattle, of course, and baby calves. We get to those about 12:30 this afternoon. And don't forget, our next hay sale in Stratford here will be April 30th, next week, April 30th. And we also have next week, as part of the sales, special spring bred beef cow sale. Next Wednesday, May 1st, will be at 12:30 as part of the feeder cattle sale. So, folks, you got cattle that can sign any one of these sales, let us know. 687-4101 is our phone number. Bob, with that, we'll turn it back to you. Just another nice day to be outside and getting your, are you getting your yard work done now?
Oh, I'm caught up. I'm waiting for it to warm up so I can put a little grass seed down.
Oh, okay. Well, then maybe, I don't know how warm is it going to get today. Maybe you can take the bubble top out for a ride.
66 and sunny. So I don't know.
You can take the old convertible out for a ride today then.
Yeah, also, while you were doing your report, I Googled this moon and they changed it from the pink moon. They call it the plumber's moon.
Oh, well.
Took you a while to catch on to that one, huh?
Yeah, I did, Bob.
Hey, you have a good one. We'll talk to you in the morning.
You guys also. Thank you much.
There he goes. There's Jerry over there at Equity in Stratford. Well, on the Board of Trade, Synergy Co-op bringing us our markets this morning. Corn and beans, a little movement yesterday. Wheat went up 15 cents. They're worried about the condition of the crop. Overnight, December corn down a fraction, 472. The oats at 357. December wheat up to at 656. November beans fell another 4 to 5 cents at 1169. And meal down 280 a ton at 347.30 at the country elevators today.
Corn and oils at 394 with soybeans at 1082. Arcadia, corn's at 402 with soybeans at 1107. Chippewa Falls and Connersville, corn's at 388 with soybeans at 1094.
And at the country elevators, prices for corn and beans both down from yesterday. At Golden Plump, the corn today is 402. At Baldwin, corn 391, beans 1092, Durand 386 and 1082. Mondovi, 389 for the corn, 1087 on the beans. At Elmwood, the corn's 393, soybeans 1092. At Fall Creek, their beans are 1082, their corn is 383. Osseo, 401 and 1092. Out at Elk Mound, 393 on the corn, 1090 on the soybeans. At Sparta, the corn is 396, beans 1102. At Ellsworth, 378 and 1082. Ethanol plants, corn 412, Stanley 406, New Richmond facility at 403. Barrel cheese, 177 unchanged. Blocks fell 2 at 174. Buttered on a quarter at 296 and 3 quarters. April class 3 unchanged, 1557. May and June were over $18 yesterday. They're below $18 today. Down 35 yesterday for May at 1778. June down 31 at 1791. July down 23 at 1831. And August down 23 at 1852. Prices down through December. But the temperature's going to be up. It'll be up to 66 today. It'll be a sunny day, and then we've got some rain moving in. It's spring in Wisconsin.
You've been listening to the Midwest Farm Report, available at waxradio.com in its entirety every day. Brought to you in part by Bluff Country Feed and Seed and Mondovi. On-demand content at waxradio.com.